Ephesians chapter 6.
Go to verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Our Father, I pray that you'd again meet with us. I pray that we would hear from you through your word. Lord, you've commanded us, and Lord, you will enable us to live for you. I pray that we would listen to how we can do that this morning. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, there is a war going on. We are in a battle. We have an enemy that hates us and desires to destroy our lives. Satan will work on our areas of ignorance and in our weakness. We have been commanded in the Word of God to stand. But understand that when God commands, He also enables. If God tells us to do something, He will also tell us how we can do it and will enable us to go ahead and do it. The armor of God has been given to us so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Last week, we learned that we must put it on, put it all on, put it on and leave it on, and put it into practice. The first piece of equipment was the belt of truth. By putting it on, the soldier said, I can and I will. Today, we want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Number one, the definition. What is it? The definition, what is it? Well, everybody knows the importance of protecting the vital organs in the chest and abdomen. This soldier understands it. He has his breastplate on. Police officers understand the importance. They'll wear their Kevlar. They'll put that on. Baseball catchers, baseball umpires, hockey goalies know that they need to protect that vital area of their chest and abdomen. We do too. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We know what a breastplate is. We just had that illustrated for us. What is righteousness? When we talk about righteousness, what are we talking about? Well, basically, in the Word of God, you've got three options when you're dealing with righteousness. The first option is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. I can tell you right off the bat, this is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. We're not to put on self-righteousness. What is self-righteousness? It's the idea that we are good in and of ourselves, and we can be good enough to earn our way into heaven. We will never be good enough. We can never be good enough. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, the Bible tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. The Pharisees were the most self-righteous group of people in Christ's day. They had rules and regulations, and they kept their rules and their regulations to the T, disregarding what the Word of God had said. They thought their rules and regulations were more important. And Jesus Christ told his listeners, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not getting into heaven. So he's not talking about self-righteousness. The second option in the Word of God is God-given righteousness. God-given righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21. Talking about Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he took all of our sin in his own body on the tree and paid our sin penalty in full. Amen. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that sin is gone, but in its place comes the righteousness of God. Amen. We get the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed into our accounts, and we are then righteous in God's eyes. In standing before Him, we are righteous. This is man's greatest need, to have the righteousness of God imparted into their life by trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. But this isn't the righteousness He's talking about here. So the third option is practical righteousness. Practical righteousness. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He said, follow after righteousness. Chase righteousness. This is the kind of righteousness that is the breastplate that we are supposed to put on, the chest protector that we are supposed to put on in our lives. So the breastplate of righteousness is simply doing what's right. Does that make sense? Doing what's right. It means you're to know what's right, and you are to do what's right. Let me ask you, do you know a Christian whose life is a mess? They're not doing what's right. It's pretty much that simple. They're not doing what's right. So that's the definition. It's not self-righteousness. It's not even God-given righteousness. It is the practical righteousness that we as believers are supposed to pursue. Number two, the defense. What is it supposed to protect? What is putting on the breastplate of righteousness? What is it supposed to protect? Well, it is over the chest, so it protects our heart. It protects our heart. Now understand, in the Word of God, the heart is your thoughts. It's the real you. It's the person behind your skin. It is who you really are. And knowing right and doing right protects your thoughts. Now let's be honest here. We're prone to wrong thinking. Amen? That's just who we are. We're sinners, and we're prone to wrong thinking. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17. We're sinners, and even though we're sinners saved by grace, we still have a sin nature that we carry around. We are prone to wrong thinking. In verse number 9 of Jeremiah chapter number 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We are prone to wrong thinking. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your thoughts. Understand, we're prone to wrong thinking. No one knows it. God knows it especially. So we need to guard our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart, guard your heart, garrison your heart, garrison those thoughts, because the seat of right actions is right thinking. We're prone to wrong thinking. We need to guard our heart against the kind of thinking that might invade it and cause us to do the wrong thing. We need to understand that we need to think right in order to do what is right. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. What you think about, you are. What you think, you will do. Jesus Christ was walking through the fields. He and his disciples were eating the wheat there. The Pharisees were all upset. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. And what are you doing? And Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out, because what comes out comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. And knowing right and doing right protects your heart. It also protects the vital organs. The vital organs. In the Word of God, the vital organs are, you know, the bowels. You read about that, bowels and mercies in the Word of God. And their seat of emotion was the bowels. And that's what they thought. We don't say in our day and age, I love you with all my bowels. You can try that when you get home. I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, but that was their seat of emotion. That's what they would say in those days. And think about it. You ever get nervous? You ever get angry? Scared? Where do you feel it? You know, our word is butterflies in the stomach. It's those internal organs get all, when you know something bad's coming. That's what he's talking about here. We are emotional beings. But emotions have their place. And it's not up front. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness, knowing what is right and doing what is right, will protect not only our thoughts, it will protect our emotions. I like to use a little illustration about a three-car train. You've got the engine. You've got the coal car, because it's a steam train. And you've got the caboose. Now, the front, the engine, that's our faith, fact, and feelings. Now, I've lost it here. You got your faith is the coal car, the middle. The fact is the train, the engine. And feelings are the caboose. That's how it's supposed to go. So if you put your faith, the coal, into the engine, you'll be going forward and your emotions will follow. Does that make sense to you? Can you get that picture, though I messed it all up? When you put your faith into your feelings, how far are you going to get? Not very far. You see, when we put our faith in our feelings and we do stuff based on how we feel, we're going to be riding a roller coaster. Because there are days you feel good and you want to do what's right. There are days you feel lousy and you don't want to do anything at all. Come on. God does not want us to ride that roller coaster of emotions. He wants us to pull forward and keep moving at a straight rate. Now, we're emotional beings. We're going to go up and down a little bit, but it won't be a roller coaster. Because we put our faith in the facts. Where do we find those facts? Knowing what's right and doing what's right. Amen. I've said it a million times, I'm sure. Disney's fond of saying, follow your heart. Don't. It will get you into trouble every single time. Amen. Follow the facts. Know what's right and do what's right. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It will protect your heart, your thoughts. It will protect the vital organs, the emotions. Don't make decisions based on feelings ever. You make your decisions based on the fact, and guess what? Proper feelings will always follow. Amen. That's exactly what happens. Proper feelings will follow. Go to Psalm 1. Let's look at that real quick. Psalm 1. Verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. That's putting your faith in the facts of the Word of God. Delighting in His Word. Meditating on His Word. And you will be like that tree that has all the nutrients it needs. It grows up strong and true, and there's leaves and fruit, and it prospers. That's what we need to do. Number 3, the directions. How do you use it? How to use it. We're talking about practical righteousness, knowing what is right and doing what is right, putting that on so it will guard our hearts and guard our inner organs. So how do we use it? First of all, know what's right. Amen? How are you going to know what's right until you know what's right? Where are we going to find out the right things that we're supposed to know? Let's try that one more time, because that wasn't a tough question. You're in church. You're all supposed to have your Bibles with you. Amen? So where are we going to find out? Where are we going to find out the truth? The Word of God. Go in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture. That means the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? All of it, from beginning to end, front to back, top to bottom, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is literally God-breathed. This book has been given to us by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This Bible is profitable. It tells us what we're supposed to know. It tells us when we err from that. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it instructs us how to keep doing what is right. You will find what is right on the pages of this book. It is here written for you in black and white. Know what is right. That means you need to know the Word of God. Let me tell you right off the bat, ignorance of God's Word is no excuse. But Pastor, I didn't know. Why didn't you know? It's in the book. God told you. You have a copy. Read it. You have a church where the Word of God is preached, where the preacher will stand up and tell you from the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. I know the preacher pretty well. That's what he's going to tell you. Thus saith the Lord. That's why we have church. Sunday morning for Sunday school. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Because we can't get too much of the truth. We got to know the truth. We got to know what's right. It comes from this book. You come to all of our services, we're in someplace different in the Bible in every one of those services. You learn the Word of God if you come to church here. Amen. You'll know what's right. Ignorance of God's Word is no excuse. You see, Satan seeks to exploit your ignorance. He will use your ignorance against you because he wants to destroy you. So you can't allow that to continue. If you don't know something, you want to be learning it. Amen. Satan will use it against you. This will protect your areas of ignorance. If you will know what's right, you will study the Word of God, read it for yourself, hear the Word of God preached, understand that God is speaking to you in the Word of God, it will protect you because it will start to remove some of those areas of ignorance because you'll begin to learn the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need to do. Know what's right. Secondly, you probably already understand, how do we do it? Do what's right. Do what's right. Go to the book of James, chapter number 1. You're in James chapter 1. Let me read to you James chapter 4, verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 1, where you are, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the word. Now, I'm looking out at the congregation this morning, and you all look pretty good. Can you say thank you, Pastor? You all look pretty good. I can imagine, though, and no, I can't because I don't want to, what you look like when you got up in the morning. I'm guessing it's not the way you look right now. I'm guessing at one point you stood in front of the mirror and you said, I need to check that. I need to change that. I need to fix that. You know, you got to slide all your freckles back into place because your face is kind of greasy and they're kind of sliding. And, you know, you fix this and you fix that. No one said, wow, I look awful. I think I'll go to church this way. That's what James likens people who know the Word of God but don't do the Word of God. He said, you're just like that. You hear it. You're kidding yourselves. You've deceived yourselves thinking that hearing it was enough. Oh, hearing it's important because you can't do it if you can't hear it. But you hear it, and then you do it. You must live it out. And if you will live it out, it will protect your areas of weakness. You see, if you're not doing something right, eventually you will be doing something wrong. It's just that simple. Because you've got to be doing something. Shake your head to make you feel better. You've got to be doing something. That's why the world knows that the idea of replacement is so important. Let's say you got the bad habit of smoking. And smoking is a bad habit. Smoking is a sin. Can I go ahead and say that? Smoking is a sin. Now, it won't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. But they tell you when you quit smoking, you need to put something else in your mouth. Chew gum, lollipop. There's that replacement there. Okay? If you don't stop doing what's wrong by doing what's right, you're going to go back to doing what's wrong. Just that simple. That's what happens. Do what is right. You put on the breastplate of righteousness so that you will know what is right, do what is right, protect those inner organs, and obey the command of our Savior to stand. Number four, the danger. The danger. What if I fail to put it on? What if I disobey God's word and I just don't put on the breastplate of righteousness? I decide that knowing the truth and doing the truth, knowing what's right, doing what's right, it's not for me. And I decide not to put it on. What will happen if I fail to put it on? Well, first of all, there's going to be a loss of fellowship with God. A loss of fellowship with God. Go to Psalms 66, the 66th Psalm. Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I fail to put on the breastplate of righteousness and I don't know what's right and do what's right, I'll be knowing what's wrong and doing what's wrong. And if I do that, the Lord's not going to hear me when I pray. If I have that iniquity in my heart because I failed to put what's good, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report in my heart, then I'll have iniquity there. And then the Lord's not going to hear me. There will be a loss of fellowship with God. Secondly, there'll be loss of blessings. A loss of blessings. Go to the book of Ezra, chapter number 8. Ezra, chapter number 8. Verse number 22. Ezra, chapter 8, verse number 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken to the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. What's he saying there? God's on your side when you do what's right. God's against you when you do what's wrong. It's pretty much that simple. You see, obedience and blessings go hand in hand in the Word of God. You won't get the blessing without the obedience. It's just that simple. All of God's blessings are tied to obedience. So if you decide, I'm not going to obey, you're also deciding, I don't need God's blessings. And in this way, God is either going to be on your side or on your case. Your choice. You can have God on your side and blessing you because you are knowing what's right and you are doing what's right. Or you can have him fighting against you because you decided to do neither. And you failed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, there's going to be a loss of joy. A loss of joy. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. When you are right with God, and you are fellowshipping with God, your joy can be full. Amen. But if you're not knowing what's right and doing what's right because you failed to put on the breastplate of righteousness, there'll be no joy. There's no fellowship. We already talked about that. There's no communion. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There is no joy. I think of David. Remember David? A man after God's own heart. Chosen by God to be the king of Israel. David sinned. And in David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, David prays, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He was in sin, he was wrong with God, and there was no joy in his life. Oh, he put on a good show, but he knew he was not right with God. Loss of fellowship, loss of blessings, loss of joy, loss of strength. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. This is David looking back over the time when he was wrong with God and saying how much better it is to be right with God. Psalm 51 is David's actual prayer of repentance. Psalm 32 is David looking back at when he was wrong with God and how what happened when he became right with God. In Psalm 32, verse number 3, when I kept silence, meaning before I confessed my sin, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. The word Selah is a musical note, if you will, that basically means stop. And read that again. Stop and think about that. And David said, before I confessed, I was wrong all over. My bones ached. I knew I was not right with God. His hand was heavy on me. The conviction of God upon my life was almost unbearable. I couldn't even cry anymore. It all dried up. Wow. This isn't a man who's got on the breastplate of righteousness at this point in his life. Oh, he gets it back. And you can too. But there's always scars from getting away from God. Always scars. Loss of fellowship. Loss of blessing. Loss of strength. The loss of usefulness. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. God desires to use you, but He cannot use you if you're dirty. He cannot use you if you're not knowing what's right and doing what's right, if you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He's saying, in a house, you got all kinds of vessels that you use. Maybe you got fine china and you got everyday wear. But it doesn't matter if you're fine china or everyday wear. The thing you need to be first and foremost is clean. Come on. Clean. Doesn't matter how nice the cup is. You find something in the bottom after you're done drinking, your stomach's going to be turned. You pull that thing out of the cupboard and it's dirty. What are you doing with it? You're not using it. God wants to use you. But if you don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, you're not knowing what's right and doing what's right, He looks at you and says, you're dirty. Get right with me. Get right. Loss of usefulness. And loss of eternal reward. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Loss of eternal reward. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're not going to lose your salvation. Amen. But the things we do in this life for God, He's going to reward us for. Amen. But we can't do anything right for Him if we're not knowing what's right and doing what's right. And when we do things, quote unquote, spiritual, when we are wrong with God, there's not going to be a reward for that. No reward for that. It will be burned up. We'll still be saved, but it will be burned up. Let me tell you, as we've seen from Scripture, the consequences of not putting on the breastplate of righteousness are horrible. It is in our best interest to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And you will never be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his strategies, until you put it on and you leave it on and you put it into practice. It's simple. Know what's right and do what's right every moment of every day. Let me ask you, is yours on? Do you have it on? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You so much for this opportunity to look into Your Word, to have the Holy Spirit take it and apply it to our lives. Lord, this is so simple, yet it's so hard for us to do, it seems. Simply to know what's right and do what's right. Lord, You commanded us to put on this breastplate. Therefore, we know You've enabled us to do it. We can do it in Your strength, in Your might, as You pointed out. It can be done. So I pray this morning we would be determined. We're going to put it on, and we're going to leave it on. We're going to do what is right because we know what is right. And we're going to bring honor and glory to Your name every moment of every day. Lord, guide and direct in the decisions that we make right now. And I pray that each one of us would do what You've commanded us to do in putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, work in hearts. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Has God spoken to your heart? Has the Holy Spirit taken the Bible and spoken to you? What does He want you to do? What decision does He want you to make? Now's the time to make that decision. You say, Pastor, I am saved. I have that God-given righteousness because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven because I've experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved, you know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Amen. Amen. Christian? That's the beginning place. You've trusted Christ as Savior. You weren't raptured out of here immediately because Jesus Christ wants you to live for Him. He wants you to stand in this world against the strategies of the devil. But in order to do that, you've got to put on the belt of truth. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to know what is right, and you've got to do what is right. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to make sure that I am knowing and I am doing. I am a doer of the word. Pastor, God spoke to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Amen. 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 God bless you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. Put it back down. Pastor, God spoke to me. I want to make sure I'm living it. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You've never received the righteousness of Jesus Christ because you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today's the day to do that. Now is the day to do that. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. Put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Christ loves you. He died in your place. He shed His blood that you might have the complete forgiveness of sins. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, bless us now as we make decisions. You've spoken to us. Now I pray that we would listen and say yes to You. Help us to understand how important it is to know what's right and to do what's right. Work in our hearts and draw us to You that we might put on the breastplate of righteousness and leave it on. Lord, for the one who raised their hand, others in our midst who may be unsaved, show them their clear need of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, how they can have it today. Work in their heart. Draw them to You. Bless us now in every decision that is made. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, grab a hymn book right in front of you, turn to page 320, 320. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that He wants you to make, on this hymn of invitation, we invite you to respond to the Holy Spirit working in your heart. If you need to be saved, you come down to the front. We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know that you're saved. Verse number one, as we sing, what does God want you to do?